genre.
In the world of Hollywood, movies get greenlit and redlit. They get remade and rebooted. But we are the Ideal. I'm Sam Gash, and you are listening to Ideal Remake.
Thank you for listening to Ideal Remake. We take movies that either have been, will be, or should be remade and talk about what the ideal version of that remake would be. We're back for Season 7. So for those that don't remember, we really like movies and podcasts here. And sure, we're allowed to have a life. I think I read that in a manual somewhere. But for now, Ian Ager, is Time Cop a movie that has been, will be, or should be remade?
I don't believe Time Cop has been remade. I think Time Cop should be remade, because Time Cop isn't time or copy enough.
I agree. Well, I think it's enough copy, but definitely not timey enough.
I think it could be more copy.
Interesting. All right, cool. I'm excited to get into it. But for now, welcome to the podcast. Ian, for those who don't know who you are, please introduce yourself to the listener.
Yeah, hi everybody. I'm Ian Ager. I am a comedian and writer. I've been out here in Los Angeles for about 11 years now. Originally from North Carolina. Been doing road gigs and writing poop jokes professionally for too long at this point.
Do you remember the first time you saw Time Cop?
I do. I came to Time Cop, like, pretty late, actually. I think I caught it, like, on Netflix maybe, like, 6 years ago or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not, like, a diehard Time Cop fanboy who saw it in theaters or anything like that. No. Time Cop was always, like... Time Cop's the movie that everybody just, like, talks about the whole, like, oh, matter can't occupy the same space.
Yeah.
And it's, like, because that's, like, the one thing from that movie that's really endured. I think a lot of the rest of the movie is largely forgettable, even though it is Jean-Claude Van Damme's highest grossing film.
Did this do better than Street Fighter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Street Fighter's great.
Street Fighter's also quite good. But, yeah, Time Cop is the highest grossing Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
Well, there you go.
It was that or Bloodsport.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like I've heard of Bloodsport more than I'd heard of Time Cop.
Yeah, Bloodsport definitely has more, like, cachet.
Yeah.
In the cultural memory.
Sure. I feel like at some point someone's gonna...
talking like a podcaster about Zeitgeist or whatever.
But yeah, I feel like at some point, like, so I've never seen Bloodsport, but at some point someone's going to ask to do it for the podcast. And I'll watch it then, which is kind of how I felt about Time Cop. I thought it was the first Jean-Claude Van Damme movie I'd seen, and then I remembered Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Bloodsport, not to keep talking about other... We do have to talk about Time Cop eventually.
Eventually.
Not to keep talking about other JCVD properties. but Bloodsport is, coincidentally, the movie that I have seen in barbershops the most.
That is such a specific what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also very funny if you know what I look like, because I am a bald man, so I haven't been in a barbershop in 8 years.
Okay.
I haven't been in a barbershop in 8 years, but when I was still going to barbershops, when I, like, my hair was, like, thinning, but I was still getting regular haircuts, because I hadn't made the choice yet. anyway, I went to a barbershop in Burbank, and they would have Bloodsport on, like, almost, like, every other time I went in there.
That's wild.
Yeah, I think it was just the guy really liked Bloodsport.
Or it's like, this is the barbershop for men. This'll distract them long enough.
It was a very, like, dude barbershop. Not in that, like, cringe male culture, but it was just like, this is a men's barbershop. We don't really do women's hair here.
I mean, I've been to barbershops like that. Not often, because they're usually like, well, we're doing something specific. More money. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, but... Fantastic Sam's or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Like, it wasn't like a Sport Clips style, like, thing, but it was just like, no, like, the first thing listed on the price sheet is a fade. Women don't come here.
No. That's reasonable. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So Time Cop. So I watched it for the first time for this episode, and it was fun. There's tropes and stuff that don't really hold up.
Sure.
You know, specifically the character Ricky. But, like, largely, I thought the movie was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it needs more time stuff.
It needs more time stuff. They skip through the time, like, the time stuff in Time Cop ends up mattering. I mean, they do good things structurally in, like, making the time travel matter to the audience, because it's through, like, this one story of this family that kind of gets saved.
Yeah.
But they don't do, there's not enough of that, like, second act payoff of, like, no, this is the fun about being, like, a cop who time travels, is, like, go...
This is why we want to be transferred to this division.
Right, yeah, like, go hop around more. They basically only do, like, the hopping around to different time periods, like, two times, and they're both done by the midpoint.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
They're both done by the midpoint, and then all of the time travel is for this very specific electioneering plot, or to murder Jean-Claude's family.
Yeah, so we go to the past twice. The movie takes place largely in the future, but then a lot of the movie just takes place in their present.
Yes. Yeah.
When does this movie come out?
1994.
Yeah, okay. So
Time Cop released, and then, like, the present day in the movie is, like, the 2007, like, near
2004.
Future. 2004,
it's
even.
Just 10 years. They are calling their shot.
Just an even 10 years.
Yep. Which, we'll have a conversation about when we want our movie to take place, or the two ends, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. What happens in this movie?
You want, like, the full plot synopsis, or you want, like, broader strokes?
Broader strokes. Enough people are familiar with Time Cop. It's not like the episode I'm going to be doing next, which is God of Gamblers, a Hong Kong gun-fu action movie.
Okay.
That one we had to go a little bit more detailed, or will have to go a little bit more detailed. I recorded that first, Time is Weird.
Well, it wouldn't be Time Cop if we weren't playing around with it. So.
Exactly.
Glad to be doing this in the right order, even though it seems out of order.
Yes.
It'll all make sense in post.
So, as all movies in the 90s, it starts in a mall.
It doesn't start in a mall. It starts on a rainy road in the Confederate South. Because the very first scene of the movie is, like, the Confederate soldiers, like, taking General Lee's gold somewhere. And then a guy with, like, futuristic laser sight SMGs shows up and blows them away and takes the gold.
That's right, and then we never see that guy again.
You never see that guy again, and then in the exposition scene where they talk about how time travel was invented,
they reference
the gold bars.
Yeah.
They reference that Confederate gold being used to fund an arms deal in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Because that's all people know.
Right. And but
in
the
90s,
but then,
how to explain how something is bad.
But then that really has no relevance to the plot in any way.
It does
way.
Not.
It's,
it does not. It's
that's
just
crazy.
It shows you an anachronism, which is the cool part of Time Cop.
Yes.
So, like, that scene does have a point, but it's a bad example of the anachronism, because, like, you should start in the middle of, like, a Time Cop chase.
Yeah.
Where, like, a Time Cop, maybe not our Time Cop,
but a Time Cop
has to, like, chase somebody through, like, a medieval market or something to get, like, a floppy disk off a guy.
Well, you know it's bad because I forgot it happened.
Yes. Yeah, it's completely forgettable. It does not matter.
Yeah.
It could have just been brought up in the briefing scene as, like, as written.
Yeah.
And you didn't need the whole scene in the rain. Like,
all I want to do is
I just saved you $100,000 on the shooting budget right there, because now you don't need the horses for that scene.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need those actors.
I was going to say, that scene didn't look expensive, but you're right. Horses.
It was water. It was gunplay. It was horses. Like, that... That was a lot of the budget right there.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So, once the scene that doesn't matter
happens... you get to this, like, congressional briefing where they explain that time travel has been discovered. Interestingly, for a movie about time travel, you never meet the man who invented time travel, and
that
he does not
matter.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, you would think that guy would be a role in the film, at least. Not even cast.
That's
full
true.
Full name mentioned does not appear in the script ever.
That's true. Meh, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm okay if it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, someone invented time travel.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
We're, like, regulating it.
Right, yeah, I'm okay with it being a film, like, that happens after that Oppenheimer moment or whatever.
I was going to say, we don't need the Wozniak of time travel.
Sure. Sure. We don't need that. But so you get this congressional briefing where you see the bad guy get explained that time travel is a real thing, and they They ask Congress, the bad guy's a senator. He's like a junior senator at this point when time travel is being explained. He's like new and doesn't want to shake up Washington too much. But now that he understands time travel is a thing, he's like, ooh, interesting.
They like assemble the Senate Oversight Committee and they're going to be like, this is going to be expensive, but you're going to pay for
it. It's
going
to be expensive, but you're going to pay for it because otherwise Iraq will invent the nuke before you do.
And it's like, there's a real curmudgeonly old senator who's like, yeah, but I'm not going to be in charge. This young guy's going to be in charge. We're going to immediately not trust him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will say one of the nice things about this movie is that we don't really spend any time worrying about who's a good guy or who's a bad guy. Pretty much.
Yeah, no, it's very clearly delineated.
Yeah.
From the jump.
It's like,
You get your save the cat scene with Jean-Claude in the mall, like, catching a purse snatcher before he goes to meet his wife. So you're like, oh, hero. Instantly we know that guy's good. We know the beery senator's got sinister vibes. Like,
that's it.
You get right to it.
That's all you need. I mean, it's being played by Ron Silver.
Yeah.
Like, you don't cast Ron Silver to be a hero.
No.
But yeah, and so, like, Van Damme's like, I can't do his accent. It's like, I'm going to take the job. I'm a cop. It's the thing I do.
Yeah.
And then the girlfriend from Ferris Bueller's Day Off comes in and goes, no, don't do it. I'm worried about you. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Let's go have sex. And she's like, okay.
Okay.
And then they do that. And then some people show up who just seem anachronistically not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And they just, they blow shit up.
There's some sinister ponytail guys. They attack him and his wife is accosted in the house by a mysterious man in a suit.
Yep.
And the ponytail guys you have seen already in the mall scene first.
Yeah, we established that they're like keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, he's being followed by a ponytail guy. The ponytail guys jump him outside his house. And then his house blows up.
Yep, they fridge the wife real good.
Mm-hmm.
But in what I'm going to call a Deadpool 2, we know that's not forever.
There's no dying in Time Cop.
There's
a lot of dying in Time Cop.
There's quite a bit of dying in Time Cop. Some in interesting and exciting ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so then 10 years later, the Time Cop Foundation's established. Ooh, and
Time Cop Foundation sounds like there's some kind of, like, charity for the Time Cops.
Well, the Time Cop Foundation is, like, when you have a planet that's specifically designed to predict what the rest of the planets and humanity is going to be doing. And every 5 to 10 years, they check in with the guy who founded Time Cop Foundation. He lets you know, here's where you should be in the timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
Foundation.
Right. Yeah.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme's character is named Walker, and he's basically just been sad for 10 years, which, go figure, that makes sense.
Yeah, if I had a wife and somebody blew her up, I'd be pretty sad.
I'd be pretty bummed about it.
Pretty bummed.
But, like, he goes home at the end of the day and, like, watches old home videos of him and his wife. So he's sad, and rightly so, but he's not handling it well. And this is after we watch a time escapade of going back to, like, 1920s.
Going back to the 20s to, like, ICE's former partner who's been, like, living back in the 20s.
Yeah.
To, like, gamble on stock picks.
Yep.
Because he knows what's going to happen. And he knows, like, okay, I've got a paper from 2004 that says this company's still on the market, which means the shares are still going to be good. So just buy 10 million shares of...
And then go back to the future and that's enough. And so Walker is going to arrest him. And he's like, you can't arrest me. You can't take me in. He'll kill my entire family. I choose death instead. And he stockbrokers himself out the window.
Yeah.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme catches up to him, sends him back to the present, which is the future, which is our past.
Mm-hmm.
And learns that it's, in fact, Senator McComb who's been doing this. But the guy doesn't turn him in and he's sentenced to death. And so apparently all of these stock crash murders are just people being killed for time infractions and they get dropped.
They get dropped and that's where, yeah.
Sure.
That's where Black Tuesday comes from. Just the senator had that many people cooking the books that all just
or enough people have been caught for committing time crimes.
Yes. And they all choose to die in the 1920s falling from a skyscraper.
Is that how they choose to die or it's how they're being assigned to die?
It's how they're being assigned to die.
Because you can also, I don't know if you know this, you have time and space. There's volcanoes and like...
There's volcanoes. You also like, you don't need to be doing stock crime around a notorious period of stock volatility.
Yeah.
Like, if you can travel in time, you can just go start a bank account with compounding interest. And as long as the bank's still there in the future...
We've all seen the episode of Futurama.
Right. Just pays off.
Yeah. Or, like, you do that. You go to, like, the start of Well, not Apple at this time, but, like, the start of IBM. Like, that was the joke in the 90s, is you go back to, like, the early 80s, invest in IBM, and you're good.
Yeah.
But they don't do that. They don't drop anyone at Pompeii.
They don't do that. They don't have, like, anybody making ridiculous prop bets at Caesars.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that'd be fun, too.
Yeah, just hit, like, 16-way parlays.
But anyway, we find out that McCombs a bad guy. He's doing time crimes to fund his presidential campaign. Because it's the only way he's able to fund the campaign, which in and of itself is crazy. Because literally his entire campaign strategy, as he lets us know later in the movie, is he's going to make the top 10% super rich, and the other 90% of the country can move to Mexico where they'll have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who just give you money for that, man.
Right.
You don't need to do time crimes to raise money for that.
There are enough donors who want that to happen.
That's just standard Republican.
It is.
If anything, it's a little bit broad that you're allowing there to be 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, if anything, 10% is a lot.
Yeah, like, honestly, if you're going to be doing, like, you can have a much crazier campaign idea, and that'll work if you're just manufacturing money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's separate.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the movie. We go and we go stop other people from doing time crimes. We stop Senator McComb from going back in time and turning down a share in a company that does really well. A guy gets liquid nitrogen to death, basically.
Mm-hmm. There's some very cool kills in the movie.
There are indeed.
He gets a new partner that turns out to betray him, but then she gets betrayed by Senator McComb.
Yep.
And then he goes to the hospital to find her because she's the last witness that can testify.
Yep. And they need to be able to prove that she was back in time in a place she wasn't supposed to be. Right. So he steals her blood.
Yeah, he needs to get her blood, so he goes to the hospital to get her blood. And in the same blood fridge is his wife's blood.
Right next to it for some reason.
Right next to it, even though their names are not together alphabetically.
No, and...
Fielding is not next to Walker.
No.
Also, his partner never has a first name either. It's just Fielding.
That's true. I'm looking at the IMDb, and everyone here is a single name.
Yeah.
Walker, Melissa, McComb, Machuzik, Fielding, Ricky, Atwood, Spada... Utley, yeah. Shotgun, Rays, Rollerblades. It's just single names.
Yeah.
And
it's a very efficient script with its names.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, it gets to be a first name.
Yeah, if you're lucky, it's a first name.
But yeah, so basically they talk about how McComb has bought and sold everybody in every sort of crime division, cop department to basically like be what allows him to do all of his time crimes, which makes no sense. You don't need to be doing time crimes and you don't need to buy anybody, but whatever. He's evil.
He's evil.
And Fielding, it turns out, is in his pocket as well. Mm-hmm. She's like, he's going to be president. I'm just casting my vote early, which is a good line. And then time crimes. So then Walker's gets sent back and he's like, oh no, he was losing, but now he's winning because he pulled off this time crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go back. But, like, they're shutting down the department. He won. The Senate Oversight Committee is, like, shutting us down, so I'm not going to be able to stop him from doing time crimes anymore. Oh, no! Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to the exact time where I can go save my wife.
Yep.
And it will happen to be that I can also stop Senator McComb, because I will call present time Senator McComb to show up at the house, too, so that I can throw them together, because matter can't occupy the same space.
They've been teasing that the entire movie, and they finally give you the payoff at the end, where the villain meets the villain from the past, and they turn into a big CGI goo ball.
Yeah, that was cool. It was a fun moment.
It's a very fun moment, and that's why it's the part that's, like, stuck in everyone's mind the most from that movie.
Makes perfect sense. I mean... You certainly don't want to think about the physics and how basically the human body every 7 years is a different human body because all the cells have been replaced.
Right.
Whatever.
No. And you don't also want to think about, like, the fact that all this time travel isn't going in a straight line either. Like, it produces different timelines.
Yep.
Because you're changing everything around.
Well,
but it's very much in the same, like... Looper will do this a little later, a little cleaner, but
yeah.
it's the same, like, time is a straight arrow, and, like, you can go backwards and forwards on that path, but we can't go sideways or change direction.
Right, and so, no multiverse theory in this movie.
No.
There are no multiverses, it's a singular timeline, you make changes, It just radiates up.
I respect that, like, narratively, because that allows you to do some very cool, like, payoff things with, mm-hmm. like, characters change mm-hmm. as they change events. Like, that's cool. You know, that stuff, all of those payoffs feel a little more earned than, like, oh, this is me from a different timeline where I just, like, worked out for 400 years to become stronger so that I could punch you harder.
Yeah. So then my question to you is, how many unique timelines are there in this movie? Because I think there are at least three, certainly from Walker's perspective.
Mm, yeah. So there's time periods, but like in terms of like timelines, there's the timeline where Walker takes the job at the TEC.
Mm-hmm.
His wife dies. He's all sad about that. And then 10 years later, he goes back in time. Because, like, the movie really wants it to just be one.
Right.
The movie thinks it's just one timeline, but it's...
So here's the thing about this movie. I think, despite the fact that this movie doesn't really have an act one, we get, like, 5 to 10 minutes of act one. It's like, here's what's going on. It's a time stuff. All right, let's roll.
Let's go.
Which, great. It's 99 minutes. It moves. I love that about it.
Yeah.
I think what we're seeing is the second timeline. Because the movie starts with time enforcement agents coming back to kill him and his wife or something.
Right.
So theoretically...
Yeah, there's already a timeline that's happened.
There's already a timeline that's happened where he has lived his life, he joined the time enforcement agency, went forward, and still was a pain in the ass to...
Still,
we can presume Macomb, but it might not have been. It was just someone who was like, this fucking guy...
Yeah, pissed off somebody enough by being a good cop or whatever.
Right. And so then comes back and so like gets sent back in time to like murk him in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we're already seeing an altered timeline because people from the future came back to mess with him specifically.
Right.
So there's, I think, three different versions of Walker. There's the continued version that we never get to see that did Walker stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's the version that the movie really takes place with. Like we spend all our time with this Walker. And then there's the Walker that he then replaces at the end of the movie when he comes back after saving his wife and assumes the life of this person who'd been living a life for this whole time.
Right. Yeah. Because he goes back and there's like, he has a son that knows him already. So,
and
yeah.
We can't presume that that's the same as the first timeline because in this new timeline, Melissa survived and...
Survived and, yeah.
A attack on them and their house.
Yes.
So it has to be at least three, certainly from his own perspective of untouched, Walker of the movie, Walker who saved the past.
Yeah, there's the from the blowing up of the house, there's the positive outcome of that where the house did mm-hmm. blow up. There's the negative outcome where the house didn't blow up. And there's the transitory between the two.
Yes, which is where the movie takes place.
Yeah, and we're watching that bridge timeline, basically.
And that's kind of it. Like, basically, the movie is the bookends of the creation of this version of Walker and where that version of Walker doesn't exist anymore, except that it's him in that timeline.
And that's all really interesting to think about. The movie never tells you any of that.
No, it's very much one of those kind of 90s movies of, no, that doesn't matter, action movie.
Doesn't matter, split kick.
Yeah, although he really only does that twice?
Mm-hmm. There's the only time that sticks out to me in Time Cop is like the guy tries to knife him in his apartment and he has to do the splits to avoid the toaster electrocuting the guy on the floor.
Yeah. He jumps up onto his kitchen counters and does a splits in his underwear and you just get to be like, I mean, there's the butt. That's the butt.
Yep. That's what you paid for.
Yep. I mean, we got to see that butt naked earlier, but mm-hmm. now this feels like this is the butt.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I think both of us are kind of more into like the crunchy, timey nature of it all, of just like trying to figure out. For our version, I feel like single timeline is the way it's got to work. Otherwise, what's the point of going back and doing time crimes?
Yeah.
Well, no. Because then it's what's the problem of going back and doing time crimes? Because if you're stealing money from this other time,
doesn't happen anymore because that's you in a pocket dimension.
Right. And the other thing we never talk about is that we see the necessities of how time travel works. If it's this whole, like, massive underground system, they have a car that just goes forward, goes in time, it propels them into the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come back, they hit the thing and it pulls them back into the car, which is interesting. But Senator McComb is also traveling through time, and I don't know where he would secretly have some other secret time car.
They explain that in the movie.
Oh, so do they?
They do. Basically, McComb has the original prototype machine that is in a facility in Maryland.
Got it.
Because the prototype was never dismantled, which seems like an oversight.
I mean, if only someone on an oversight committee would let that thing go through.
Yeah, seems like an oversight.
Weird.
Yeah, weird how that works out.
But yeah, so, okay.
So he has the original thing. Time Cop, the movie, is based on a series of short stories that were originally written by the Dark Horse Comics guy.
Really?
Yeah, the founder of Dark Horse Comics wrote this.
Mike Richardson.
Yeah. And in the comic series, it's explained that traveling through time is a lot like using a rocket to defy Earth's gravity. So time travel is a lot like defying gravity in that, like, it takes a tremendous amount of energy to get you out of your own time.
Sure.
But then to get back to your own time, because your molecules remember it or whatever, it's just like falling. That's why they all just have like a marker thing that gets them back, and they don't need the car to get them back.
That's clever. I like that explanation.
It's a very clever idea. The other thing that I like about it is they're not only are they interested in single timeline in Time Cop, but it's also really only one direction. Because they say, like, right up front, you can't travel to the future because it hasn't happened yet.
They do say that in the movie.
So that's why we're not just, like, immediately going to, like, the year 35 million and being like, oh, I'll just get, you know, future gold.
Right. Or just,
I'll
like...
I'll get a ray gun and come back and rob a bank.
Or, like, I can go steal a newspaper from then and, like, literally I can go to next week, get a newspaper reporting back to what happened this week, and great, that's fine. And it's not particularly intrusive.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have to go backwards, which I think is more fun. I like the limitation of it.
It's more fun because that gets you to, like, more, like, anachronism payoffs that, like, we more easily grok.
Yes. I feel like we need to start with two questions. When do you want this movie to be set? Like, the actual, what the movie considers now, when do you want that to be?
I think it should be a little further forward from the invention of time travel. Like, give it, like, maybe 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like,
so if we wrote this movie now, let's say it came out next year, 2025, put it 25 years in the future, the movie takes place in 2050.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on board for that. Are we going to make our cars all look like stupid Tesla trucks?
Yeah. We're going to make them, like, all the stupid DeLorean things that they're using?
No.
No. I don't think you need that.
If anything, I think it's funnier if they're using cars from now because laws got put in place to severely limit manufacturing because they ran out of fossil fuels. And the only cars that are left are ones that are able to, like, run on different things.
I like that because the other thing that time travel does is time travel lets you basically get around, like, financial scarcity.
Yeah.
Because basically all money exists at all time forever.
Yep.
So if you have access to time travel, you're living the Federation Starfleet life.
Kind of, but you're also, like, to an extent, you are taking that
from
another time.
I want to make it clear, it's not a utopia, you are plundering.
Yes, okay.
The people with time travel are plundering from the people who don't.
So it's Starfleet Academy, but if Starfleet were pirates.
Yes.
Got it, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so we have that aspect of, let's just start simple. We talked about how we wanted a more impactful teaser, like beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I think going and stealing gold from the Confederates is a fun idea, but we could do lots of different things. What's some fun time travel shenanigans that you would like to play around with? Because I think there's some fun in being, like, they talk about how the pyramids in Egypt were opulent and crazy and, like, they were crammed full of gold and all that gold got snuck in and stolen systematically over time and just disappeared into the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be really easy to be the first person to be like, okay, cool, I'm in the pyramid, pocket this, pocket that, pocket this. It's just a really easy way to go steal a bunch of money that we know is going to be stolen.
Right.
I think that's an easy one. And then you get to have all the cool iconography of ancient Egyptian money and gold and treasures in a 2050, a vaguely slightly more dystopic than the present future.
Sure, yeah. You put all of that in one of those, like, box apartments.
Yeah. You can also go the other way of this person who's trying to get all the money goes, and there are three or four known to be lost Fabergé eggs. Because Fabergé eggs, there isn't an infinite number of them. There's a finite number of Fabergé eggs.
The artist only made so many.
Yeah. And I think there's like, I don't know, 18 or 19. And we don't know where four or five of them are. And theoretically, they're either destroyed because, you know, Russian Revolution, or disappeared into some collector's collection. We'll never see the.
I think starting in like the Russian Revolution or something, like where you that's why you take the gold from the Confederates, because it's like, well, history's already known that they're losers. So if I take the valuable stuff that they have, no one's going to miss it.
Exactly,
it's already spoils of war.
Yes. So, like, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I think that's more fun than the stock market.
Yeah, no, this because the point of the stock market is that the money is kind of made up. It's all speculative betting that creates the value anyway.
Yeah.
With time travel, you don't need to do speculative betting. You can go acquire real valuable things. Like, you can go acquire priceless treasures with the push of a button.
Yes.
And a short rocket car ride.
Yep. All of that's true and possible. The only thing it will fail is a carbon dating test, which is one of the things that they use on Priceless Treasures now.
Yeah.
And can be how they figure out that this stuff is time stolen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the dates don't match up.
Right.
Hold on.
This is clearly ancient Egyptian gold, but there's no way it can be ancient Egyptian gold.
Yeah.
Like, there's a there's a marker in time from when all of, like, the nuclear testing and bombs went off, because there's a layer of radioactivity that covered the globe, and they're like, okay, great. It's like steel or iron or something from, like, before World War II is more valuable than steel or iron from after that, because it was manufactured differently, and, like, it doesn't have this, like, radioactive decay.
I'm gonna float another idea to you for, like, the start of this. You can have a guy show up in, like, prehistory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have a guy, maybe even the villain of the movie, show up in the beginning scenes in, like, dinosaur times, and all he shows up with is, like, a gun to, you know, whatever, shoot a dinosaur or whatnot if he gets ambushed. But his main mission is he's shown up with a bag of lime. And he's gonna, like, seed a specific patch of soil that he owns in the present day because he's trying to create, like, emeralds or something.
Oh.
Because when you have access to time travel, you can play a very long game. So we're like, he's making his own emerald mine or some shit.
That's bananas, but that's very silly. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Great. That's... I love someone burying something. It's like, ooh, interesting.
Yeah, you start off with buried treasure, because, again, time cops are basically just pirates.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Okay,
time cops are basically pirates. The other idea I had is you get to the fun thing that everybody knows from Time Cop immediately, and your opening scene is a guy being assassinated by his past self showing up and just being thrown at him.
I mean, you kind of can and should
start
with that. Like, I don't, like, because we're making this in a world where Time Cop exists, we know that that is a thing.
Yeah.
Like you could literally do someone committing a time crime and he's being chased down by the time cops.
Mm-hmm.
And they get him, they corner him, and he's like, all right, fine. I give up. You got me. But they'll never be able to convict me.
Yeah.
And then a time portal opens up. The future self hits him.
You'll never convict me. And it's like, no, we won't.
No. Better than that. You'll never be able to convict me. Time portal opens up, hits him, and then he blah, 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 disintegrates himself. And they say, looks like we just did.
Yeah.
And they go and they go back forward, and it's like, yeah.
Titles, time.
Yeah. Like, literally, that's how they convict. It's like, instead of being sent back and forth to a past where you become evidence.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden people have to figure out what the hell to do with this dead body.
Obviously, they're just going to erase you.
Yeah.
By sending you from, like, 10 minutes ago or something.
Right. You send back, you erase someone to send to the point where you, well, this person is under arrest. From that point forward, a time portal can open up if they were convicted. So literally, you can also at some point have your hero be arrested and then a portal doesn't open up. Mm-hmm. So we now have to actually watch them go through the process. And they're like, this is weird. We don't really know how this goes. Mm-hmm. Technically, every single arrest is our first arrest because every previous arrest gets wiped out.
Yeah.
So we're now watching this being like, at any point, he might get sent back in time and blah, 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 blah. And gets double bubbled, boiled, and troubled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. There's some fun ideas. Another fun idea I had is I think it's a more interesting story if the villain is Walker in the future.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah.
See, my twist was this whole movie is predicated, because I was really fixated on the fact that there's three timelines, mm-hmm. but I also like the idea of time, like, just a rubber band back to what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to go back in time and successfully kill Walker instead of killing his wife, which they really don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
If anything, that makes him angrier.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think they should do is they go back in time and successfully kill Walker, and then Melissa becomes the actual time cop.
Yeah.
And then you can go back in time, and, like, once all of that's fixed, and so instead of fridging the wife, which, fine, but, like, if we're playing with any sense of multiverse theory, you can absolutely have it both ways. Mm-hmm. Because you can have people who got sent back in time and then got trapped there.
Yeah.
Because there's a moment when McComb goes back with like his buddies or whatever, and like they threaten it a bunch of times, like, if you fuck up one more time, I'm leaving you here.
Mm-hmm.
And like even Fielding got left behind.
Right.
Like that's a threat. And so you can absolutely,
and you should definitely see that payoff as like something worse than just like, oh no, a person from 2004 is stuck in 1994.
Oh no, what a treat for them.
Yeah. Again, she's like, she's dying in a hospital bed, but she's also like, it's so boring here. I know the next 10 World Series winners. And I was like, that's it?
That's it?
That's not suffering.
You know the next 10 World Series winners. That means you can bet on them. Have you not seen other time travel movies?
Mm-hmm.
The second Back to the Future is all about that.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, but, like, exactly that. So we can even have that where Melissa becomes new time cop and Senator McComb, we think, is, like, the big bad, but he's not. It's Forgotten Walker.
Yeah.
It's, like, a 30 or 40-year-old.
Right. It's the Walker who got stuck someplace. And was like, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make me an emerald mine and get filthy rich.
Like, he gets stuck in the past, and it turns out, like, he goes and finds the original time machine because he knows where it's about to be invented.
Right, he knows where it's going to be, and he's like, what if I buy that land?
Or, more than that, like, he knows where it's about to be invented. As soon as it's done, he can just walk in, kill them all.
Sure.
They never test it because knows it works.
Yep.
So now he's the only one with time. With time travel.
Yeah, he has a monopoly on the technology, and that guy becomes the bad guy.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So, we have that. We have our good guy, we have our bad guy. What is the nature of the plot? We know what Senator McComb wants. Senator McComb wants to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And he's willing to do anything in order to do it. That also makes him manipulatable by evil Walker.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't think McComb is a good villain for a story with access to this kind of, like, stakes. I think he's a good patsy.
Correct.
But
especially
the idea,
from what we know about life now.
One of my biggest gripes with the original Time Cop is the villain is a guy who wants to use the power to travel in time to guarantee him a job with a 2-term limit.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so short-sighted.
It's the definition of dreaming small.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm very much thinking about the line from Justice League when Lex Luthor says, I spent millions of dollars on a fake presidential campaign. Do you have any idea how much power I'd have to give up if I was president?
Yeah. How much power I give up to be president. It's like, no, like, you can travel in time.
Yeah!
Being president of the U.S. for 8 years...
And, like, literally, so what is his goal? Like, he doesn't even necessarily want to be king. He just wants to be powerful, period. Does he just want to have all the power, have all the money? What's his goal? Because one of my big problems with a lot of, like, evil villains is, like, okay, great, you took over the world.
Yeah, now what?
Now what?
Now what? And again, like, all he really has is that one speech about, like, well, we got to kick the special interests out, and we're going to take this country back to the economy of the 80s. And
right.
I'm like, okay.
Cool. Well, You did it. Congratulations. We're all pretty unhappy about it.
You did it. We're still out of Quaaludes again.
Yeah. So I feel like it's got to be one of those things where if he's in charge of the timeline, I feel like he keeps trying and resetting the timeline, trying to specifically manipulate a timeline that ends up with a Melissa who can be in love with him again.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Because if he is horrifically heartbroken and he is just like this overwhelming sense of loss, but every single time he goes back in time to meet this Melissa, she doesn't like the man he's become. So he keeps going back and resetting the timeline.
Yeah.
Trying.
Because you can try as many times as you want if you have access to,
exactly,
to that.
So, like, to try it and set it up and change it in such a way to finally make a Melissa who can be in love with him again. And, like, literally the version we're on right now, he was trying to reset the Melissa, but instead he accidentally killed his past self. And he's like, all right, I kind of just got to see this out. But maybe this is the one that works.
Maybe that was the missing variable. I never tried killing myself before.
Yeah, literally, yeah. And so it's just like those sorts of pieces. Because, yeah, like,
if I'm the only me she has left, then that has to work, right?
Exactly. That.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That's a fun angle.
Okay. Cool. We have...
Because it makes the bad guy, like, relatable, because you understand how he became that way, but mm-hmm. also, like, that's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That guy sucks.
And, like, and we get to find out how... And then you literally can have Melissa ask, how many times have you killed me before?
Yeah.
Oh, I lost track after 25.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been at this for so long. You wouldn't believe.
The first one really hurt. By the 15th, I didn't really feel anything anymore.
At the end, well, what's one more?
Yikes.
Yeah. So, like, okay, cool. So we have character motivation, we have plot, let's have some set pieces. Like, we have different places in time that they can go. Like, I feel like going back to the 90s in the shopping mall, especially if someone's in their 30s now, that's kind of where they spent some of their childhood, a good mm-hmm. place to go and reset mm-hmm. somebody.
Yeah.
And we can do that. We can also go back to time, send someone through. Blah, 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 blah. We can steal Egyptian gold. We can steal basically anything. What's something fun that you'd like to steal?
Something fun that I'd like to steal. I mean, the Declaration of Independence.
Of course.
It has a map to the Mason's treasure.
And we need that.
Obviously.
And so that's how we keep manipulating the politics, is like we manipulate people like Senator McComb. A real insert name of politician you don't like here, mm-hmm. Who's easily manipulatable in exchange for money.
Yeah.
He keeps being given all of this money.
Mm-hmm.
So we can put a gold mine or a diamond mine on his worthless property that he bought.
Yeah,
because that's the promise.
Just go back to, you know, year 250 million BC or whatever, yeah. And you're like, well, here's a shit ton of graphite.
Yep.
That becomes diamonds on a long enough timeline.
Oh, man. You just see this person lugging a bag of coal. They're just like, what do you need all this coal for? You'll see. They bury it, shove the coal in, cover it up, go back in time, and then say, dig here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just, like, take... you go to, like, colonial America, and you just, like, take a bag of coal.
Yeah. You don't need to make a stop along the way. You can pick up coal as you go.
You pick up coal as you go, yeah.
No, I meant like you can bring coal with you when you travel back in time. Yeah. You don't need to make a...
Yeah, no, this isn't Terminator where only organic stuff goes through the displacement equipment.
Is coal organic? I feel like it's organic that got replaced by... Coal's not organic. It started as organic. But then it became rocks.
Yeah.
Okay. What other set pieces do you think would be fun?
Other set pieces. Because I think they still have to do the, like, we get rid of our own in a way that, like, doesn't leave any evidence. Because you can't just, like, send somebody back to, like, the Battle of Hastings and he gets killed by archers or something.
No, because, like, people go over the... People who are war nerds are war nerds.
They
are. They'll find it.
Absolutely. And then, like, you get, like, why is this guy in a denim jacket on the Bayeux Tapestry?
That's... Yeah.
What?
Which we do have some of those like weird historical inaccurate,
mm-hmm.
what was the word you used?
Anachronisms.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anachronisms. And so like those exist and are fun and we have that. And like you can weave that into the movie of like, well, here's how we know that someone went back in time. All right, load up. We're going to Bayou times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think like stealing. You can steal basically anything that's been in an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
You can take the Ark of Covenant. You can go take the Holy Grail.
I also think it would be funny if they went back and stole the original set piece from Indiana Jones just because he's a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just something silly like that. It's like, this one was just for me.
Yeah, that's just for me.
Like honestly, you could do that with the Fabergé egg of like the evil Walker goes and steals this Fabergé egg and becomes like, oh my gosh, that's worth so much money. Well, what are we going to do with that? He's like, it's mine now. It's mine. I get to keep it.
I get to keep it.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
This one's just for me, just to have.
Yeah,
it's a knickknack. I do like Fabergé eggs. Fabergé eggs are the first thing that I remember reading about, like, a thief wanting in a book as a kid.
Yeah,
because I think like the first story that I read about, like, a big heist was, like, some Batman book where Catwoman, like, steals a Fabergé egg or something.
Good. I like it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fun. And some of them were dope. Like, I watched a whole documentary about Fabergé eggs. They were neat. And made by a deeply corrupt and bad government. So, I think have...
We can loot a ton from the Romanovs in this movie. I'm fine with that.
What else do we need to make our movie? Like, is there anything else that we're missing? Like, is there any, like, technological set piece that you think we need? Or do you think we feel comfortable with, like, the broad shapes of the movie that we've created?
I think you could get, like, more into the nitty-gritty of, like, how the time travel works. But I'm fine with this, like, Minority Report type atmosphere we have around it. Where it's like, no, like, it happened. We've had the technology for a little bit. And we live in the world post that. We're not, because Time Cop lives, I think, too close to the moment of revelation.
Yeah.
And it's still very sort of rough and ready.
And it also is like, they sure want to shut down the Time Enforcement Agency. It's like, buddy, you've existed for 4 years. There's no chance this will ever be shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And like, because the idea that they hired just like a regular security guy off the street to be a time enforcement cop.
No, you need like NASA level training.
You need NASA level training, and more importantly, for like time cop officers, like the government would probably want them to be like orphans or something. You've gotta come from like.
I'm gonna go the other way. I think what we need, and that's why we have Fielding, is because the character of Fielding, I think, as opposed to just being another time cop, I think the problem is that they need a partner because they need one to be the time cop and they need one to be the historian.
Okay, yeah, you gotta send a nerd back with them to be like, you can't touch that or all of this breaks.
Right. So, like, we lost Walker's, or in this case, Melissa's, like, original partner because they got corrupt and did this thing. Mm-hmm. And so she needs another one because she's not a historian. She's just the time cop.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that way you get to have a reason to be Fielding because you don't get to send someone back on their own. People who are on their own make mistakes. You need to have the historian to double check. The historian to double check, the time cop to enforce.
I like that. Because that gives you a buddy cop dynamic, and that gives you more payoff down the line.
And a reason for Fielding to exist.
Yeah, beyond just internal affairs.
Yeah, so something like that. Okay, cool, good. Now we got a movie. I think that was the last little piece I wanted.
Yeah.
Let's talk about casting. Luckily, the cast in this movie is shallow. But that's okay. Obviously, we have to start with Walker, who, original time cop, gets killed, makes new time cop, but also is secret big bad.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you have in mind for your Walker?
So there's a couple of ways we could go with this, because I think the plot line where Walker becomes the villain, you can either, like, it's either the best case for digitally aging an actor that I've ever come across in a script, or it's an excuse for you to get like two actors that look similar enough.
Oh, okay.
And you can do it as like a Looper thing where you make them like in makeup look kind of like each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have different ideas based on that. My gut call for like just if it's going to be one guy the whole time, Carl Urban.
Great. Okay, you were going older than I thought, but okay. Carl Urban's always great.
Carl Urban's always terrific, and I like Carl Urban specifically because he can play heroic or dastardly.
That's true.
Equally well, and he can just turn on a dime like that.
Okay, that's fair.
And I think that makes it very interesting because then you get to see both halves of that guy's range in the same film.
It's true. Okay, fair. That's a good choice. And then, but if you were splitting it up to two different people...
If I was splitting it up to two different people, I want Ben Kingsley to be the bad guy to, like, Dev Patel.
Sure. Okay, that's wild. I mean, fun, but interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. We'll probably have to end up doing that last. But so my idea for Walker is, in my version, it's, hey, fun, interesting guy. And we see him and we go, okay, we know you can do shenanigans and like be like a badass. Mm-hmm. And so we're not expecting him to be killed. Obviously, it's the sort of thing that it would be revealed in trailers. But I always try to make the movie, it's like, I know the trailers exist, but in a world where you don't watch the trailers, it's a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, in my version, Bill Hader.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, because, like, when we see him at the beginning, he's like, oh, yeah, no, I've got kind of this security guy job. Like, the SNL voice of Alpha 5 and Power Rangers Bill Hader, but we know he's going to get to Barry level Bill Hader.
We know he gets there, yeah.
But then he gets killed.
Yes.
So, like, and he's 45. So, it's like, you can make him a little bit younger, a little bit older, that sort of thing. But yours are good, too. We're going to come back to that. So, that said, because I knew I wanted my Melissa to be a badass, I'm really confident and comfortable with my Melissa. I went with, she's in Atomic Blonde, she's in Star Trek Beyond, she's in Kingsman the Secret Service, Sophia Boutella.
Okay. Yeah, that works.
Like, and I was worried that there'd be like a big age discrepancy, but right now Bill Hader's 45 and Sophia Boutella's 41. I would never expect her to be 41. She looks so much younger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we know she can kick butt. And yeah, you can literally like have her do the Sarah Connor, like, movie one at like the first Terminator at the beginning, and you can age her up 10 years and it's Sarah Connor in Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's gone through it training up to like become the time cop to like get vengeance for her husband who was killed. So that's what I had for Melissa. Who did you have for Melissa?
I did the Bill Hader thing for Melissa.
Fair enough.
Because I want to see Kristen Bell do like an action hero turn.
Yeah, fair. Okay. I mean, she's been in an action movie before.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do well.
Didn't do well.
But, like, I enjoyed it.
Not so much.
But, okay, that's fun. In this case, I might push us towards Sophia Boutella.
That's fine. That's fine. I like that choice a lot more.
That brings me to Senator McComb. Who did you have for Senator McComb?
Paul Giamatti.
That's good. I mean, that's on the nose. It's perfect.
It's on the nose. You just need a guy to be a weird politico who loves money.
And because it's Paul Giamatti, you, especially for our version, you'll think he's like, oh yeah, Paul Giamatti. It's shoot 'em ups, Paul Giamatti. Mm-hmm. We know he's the big bad, and then he's not.
He's just, yeah.
That probably works better than who I had. I went with someone who, like, he's played the toady before, but, like, I don't think Jeffrey Wright is going to be answering to anybody anymore.
No.
Like, I think Jeffrey Wright is a little bit too capable. And like, as an audience, we're like, no, it's Jeffrey Wright. Yeah. We could see him running everything.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, Jeffrey Wright's running for president? I'd vote for him. So, yeah. I think Paul Giamatti's the right way to go.
Jeffrey Wright's not the Manchurian candidate anymore.
Right.
Yeah. There could have been... Unfortunately, we still have to live in one timeline, so that moment's past.
That's true. So then that brings us to Matuszak, the kind of the manager person in the office, who we kind of think is going to betray Walker and then never does.
Mm-hmm.
The person who's kind of being set up of like, you know I'd never betray you, right? Uh-huh. You know I'd never betray you, right?
Right.
I know you'd never betray me. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like,
very, very different role in this, because in OG Time Cop, it's sort of Walker's, like, best friend boss.
Yeah.
Which is already a weird vibe.
It is, but, like, I kind of like the dynamic of, like, I have eaten your wife's this thing that she makes so many times.
Wife's goulash, always too much salt.
Yeah. Like, we're friends. Mm-hmm. And, like, I get that, I respect that. I liked their dynamic.
Yeah.
And I liked the, like, bait and switch of, no, he's a good guy, he will do the right thing.
Yeah.
So for this, I was like, I want someone who's funny, and like, we don't completely know what she's, I gender swapped this one too, don't completely know what she's thinking. And so I went with Wanda Sykes.
Yeah, okay.
Of like, I mean, I feel like I trust you, but also, do I though? So I don't know. But yeah, so like, that's who I had in mind for this character. Who did you, did you have anybody for?
I didn't have anybody.
Okay, cool. Wanda Sykes, congratulations.
I didn't have anybody because I was more in my head about like, no, it's cooler if like he is his own villain in the future. And I got hung up on like that plot a lot.
And I like that plot. I think that's great. I mean, if you're going to be playing with time travel,
play with time travel.
Yeah. So.
You got to get to the fun. Don't just make it about using the stock market to be a president, because that doesn't need time travel to happen.
No.
That's Tuesday in the U.S.
It's true. But did you cast someone for Fielding?
No.
No, okay.
No.
So, for Fielding, I wanted to cast someone who we absolutely know, absolutely for certain, for sure, will definitely never, ever, ever, ever betray us. Because it needs to actually be a surprise when this person betrays us.
Okay.
We need to be devastated that this person could possibly do this to us because we literally never would have pictured it of Ke Huy Quan.
You monster.
Right?
You monster.
And especially now that we have that twist of, like, needing to go back with a historian, the one who knows all the different things and has all the information. And then, like, oh, yeah, no, obviously. And then when Ke Huy Quan pulls a gun on Walker, you're like,
oh, my God,
short
that's round.
Possible? No.
No.
And so, like, that idea.
Do it. Give it to me.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm so on board.
The only other role that I cast was Ricky, the creepy dude. Just the tech. The random tech sitting in the back just doing tech shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I gender swapped this so it wouldn't be a creepy guy.
Okay.
I'm guessing you didn't cast this.
I didn't cast this because that's a completely unnecessary part just to put more boobs in the movie.
Well, speaking of boobs, I cast Adi Bryant.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, no, it was stupid. This person doesn't need to be there, but literally they have him in there as a representative to show that time is different. Like, they have him all slovenly and gross, and then they have him in a suit,
mm-hmm.
and then they have him slovenly and gross again. But he's clearly the same person, just wearing different clothes. But I like this character as a metric of time has changed.
Sure. Like, we fucked around with things, and it's different now.
And I like that the world's a little bit fleshed out of, like, you have someone else to talk to at the office. They're not just a bunch of extra, muscled-up extras.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I think Adi Bryant would be a good person for that.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to do for Walker. I think we have to make it Dev Patel, but I don't think Dev Patel looks anything like...
No.
Am I blanking on his name?
Ben Kingsley?
Ben Kingsley. At all.
No, that's mostly the makeup department's job.
Yeah, and also other things. But also, so I feel like we can find an actor to play older
Dev Patel.
Or we can just let it be Dev Patel.
Just let it be Dev Patel the whole time, too.
Like, I'm perfectly happy to make it Dev Patel.
Mm-hmm.
No reason not to. And then that brings us to... Because I also think, like... Or, I mean, we can also do Keith Urban the whole time. But we still want to see the young
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban, excuse me. Different actor.
Keith Urban. Very different movie.
Different vibe. Also would be good. But no. Carl Urban. Excuse me. Because I feel like we'd
want...
Be
a time cop.
And we already know that given the opportunity to go and steal weird things from weird places, he'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
He does that in Ragnarok.
He will do that.
So, yeah. Like, he's played this role already.
Yeah.
But Carl Urban, I feel like we'd want to see the young version, and I feel it's easier to make someone look older than it is to make someone look younger.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So let's do Dev Patel.
Yeah.
That brings us to writer and director. Now, I did a writer and director team.
Okay.
Do you have separate or together?
I had... together, but I don't think this guy works for this movie anymore.
Oh, okay.
So, as we've cast and as we've talked about it, my first choice for a Time Cop reboot was John McTiernan.
Oh, why?
Because I want it to be, again, it's not copy enough for me. Like, it's not enough of a police story. It's more of just like an action story with a little bit of time travel thrown in.
That's fair. Has he worked recently?
McTiernan, no.
No.
McTiernan's hella retired.
He's so... I feel like the last thing he did, like an actual movie, was Basic in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't worked in 21 years.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just want the diehard guy to do a Time Cop movie.
Fair. He is 73 years old.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's not doing...
Honestly, I was expecting him to be older. Good for him.
Yeah.
He is allowed to absolutely be retired.
Yeah, he's retired. Do not call him.
No.
Do not call him.
I leaned on the time nature of it. Like,
sure.
We're going to be having convoluted plot lines and all these crazy going back and forth of not knowing who's what and when and doing all these sorts of shenanigans and trying to follow all of that. So we need chaos energy, chaos goblins to be our writers and director. And this is a writing directing team.
Okay.
They're known as the Daniels.
Yeah, all right.
Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. Who did Swiss Army Man, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and importantly, the Turn Down for What music video.
Yes.
And I feel like they're the right team to, like, put together something like this to really be able to stitch everything so it's chaos, but it's followable chaos.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I dig it.
And also, they've worked with Ke Huy Quan before.
Yes.
And so I think that'd be fun.
I think that'd be sweet.
Cool. Let's do that. So that's our movie. Let me take you through who we have for Time Cop. Walker is going to be played by Dev Patel. Melissa, the real Time Cop, will be Sophia Boutella. Senator McComb will be Paul Giamatti. Matuzak, the manager guy, will be Wanda Sykes. Fielding will be Kei Hoi Kwan. Ricky will be A.D. Bryant. And all of this will be directed by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. That is Time Cop. Ian, you gonna go see this movie?
Absolutely. Day one.
Awesome. And I will also go see this movie and get better at watching Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, which I'm not.
You don't have to.
But I want to.
Sure.
Okay.
Go to a barbershop. Watch Bloodsport.
Plan. All right, cool. Ian, thank you so much for A, making me watch this movie, and B, being on my podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, dude.
Is there anything that you would like to plug? Now is the time for plugs. What are you thinking? What do you have social medias you want people to follow?
I have social medias. I don't want people to follow me.
Okay.
I do not want attention. If you want more of this, I'm on Instagram and less on Twitter, but at Ian Ager for both of those. That's just my name. Twitter is mostly just where I yell about Magic the Gathering cards. If you're into that kind of content, great. Instagram, I mostly just post stories of things that I baked recently.
I will say, in terms of content, I enjoy both those things.
It's the home chef in life. It works fine for me. I'm also on Blue Sky, which I think is better than Twitter at this point. I'm just actively trying not to be on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, I'm not going to be on Twitter anymore. Follow me on Blue Sky. Bye, everybody. And I haven't been back on Twitter since.
So. Yeah, I have Twitter in like a browser tab on my laptop, but it's password protected because I can't just leave that portal open. So
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, if anyone is interested, follow Ian there. If anyone wants to follow me, I am on Instagram at IdealRemake. Or you can follow me on Blue Sky at Sam Gash, SamGasch. Or if you have other thoughts and different like time heists you want to talk about, please reach out on the Dueling Genre Discord, which has a link in the doobly-doo below this episode to, hey, come talk to me about Time Cop or other Jean-Claude Van Damme movies that I need to watch. I want to know. But now, Ian, we are going to end this episode the same way we end every episode. What is your favorite quote from the movie Time Cop?
Oh, God. my favorite quote from the movie is, never interrupt me when I'm talking to myself.